call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
All members of council are present.
Thank you. There are no, there's no addendum to this evening's meeting. Just a very few announcements. On Friday, last Friday, the Peace Bridge Authority held an announcement at the Peace Bridge with respect to the World Junior Hockey Championships, which are going to be held again in Buffalo, New York this December, from December the 26th to, I think, January the 3rd or 5th, January 5th. And the announcement was also coupled with Canada Border Services Agency and the American Immigration and Customs Authorities announcing that they will be expediting nexus applications between now and the end of the year, for particularly to facilitate those who wish to attend that that tournament. Aside from the regular roster of games, there will be an outdoor game between Canada and the United States on December the 29th at New Era Field, or used to be called Pilot Field, used to be called something else. It's the Ball Diamond. And Coca-Cola, one of those. In any event, they expect a large crowd, so that if you wish to apply for Nexus and they're really putting a push on, this is the time to do it. They will expedite the process. Within 30 days, you'll have your Nexus, presuming that you comply with all of the clearance requirements. And so this is a great opportunity to do that. And you can contact either Canada Customs or U.S. Border Services to start that process, and or you can go online for Nexus. The Crystal Beach 5K is coming up on Saturday, October the 7th. It's run by Friends of Crystal Beach. This will be close to the 13th year, I believe. And if you want information or you want to enter the 5K race or participate in any of the events, you can go to their Crystal Beach 5K website. And then finally, Saturday, September the 23rd, this Saturday coming up, the Ridgeway BIA is holding an Bridgeburg BIA is holding an old-fashioned street dance on Jarvis Street, and that's between 5 and 11 p.m. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There are none. Then there are a couple of public meetings that I wish to make announcement about forthcoming. One is an official plan amendment, Thompson Road property, North Bowen Road North and south of Acadia Street. That's on October the 2nd, 2017, in the Town Hall Council Chambers, starting at 6 p.m. And the information report will be available on our website on Wednesday, September the 27th. Same evening, same place, Town Hall at 6 p.m. And again, the information report will be available for a public meeting with respect to draft plan of subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment regarding Spears Garden subdivision phase 2, which is just off Pettit Road. This evening we have a public meeting. It's a property rezoning application by Ashton Homes and relative to what is called the Peace Bridge subdivision, which is behind the Garrison Village up north to Garrison Road. So this public meeting will hear information from a member of staff. There's an information report in our package this evening. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll hear from the proponent if they wish to speak to us. And then following that, we will hear any individual who wishes to speak for or against or ask questions with respect to the proposed zoning amendment. So, Mr. Vanderveen, good evening.
Public meeting is in regard to the zoning bylaw amendment for the Peace Bridge subdivision. The application was received from Jeff Jansen of Jansen Consulting on behalf of Ashton Homes Western Limited for a portion of the Peace Bridge subdivision. The Peace Bridge subdivision was formerly known as the Garrison Green subdivision. The subject area is located within the southern portion of the development on the north side of the Louisa Street untraveled road allowance. The subject area is municipally known as 397 Garrison Road and 0 Louisa Street. The purpose of this proposed zoning bylaw amendment is to permit a reduction in the minimum lot area and to permit an increase in maximum lot coverage for one-story dwellings on 38 of the lots within the subdivision. Minimum lot area will change from 510 square meters to 465 square meters. One-story dwellings will be permitted maximum lot coverage of 45%, an increase from 30 to 40% permitted under the current R2 zoning. Notification of this public meeting was provided in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act by placing a notice in the August 24, 2017 edition of the Fort Erie Times newspaper. Property owners within 120 meters of the subject area were mailed a notice of complete application in public meeting on the same date. So this is a map of the area. So the subject lands are located in the Garrison neighborhood. It's outlined in red on the above map. The Peace Bridge subdivision itself is actually outlined in orange, and the area subject to this amendment is outlined in yellow. So this is a more zoomed in map of the area. So the land surrounding the subject site comprises the following uses. To the north, residential land intended for future development of the Peace Bridge subdivision. Further north are commercial uses along the Garrison Road commercial corridor. To the south is the Louisa Street road allowance and wooded lands. Further south are single detached dwellings along Jordan Drive. To the east are wooded lands owned by the town of Fort Erie. Further east are single detached dwellings along Concession Road and Canada Drive. To the west are wooded undeveloped lands to Arthur Street. So this is a map of the official plan designation. And the area subject to this zoning bylaw amendment is within the urban area boundary and is designated urban residential. The proposal to amend the zoning to facilitate development of single detached dwellings is consistent with the urban residential land use designation. This slide shows the natural heritage features in the vicinity of the site. No natural heritage features appear on the subject property as the subdivision was approved for development prior to passage of the town's official plan. Woodlands over 2 hectares exist on parcels surrounding the subject property. Both Niagara Region and the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority were circulated for comment on this application. Neither agency objected to the proposed zoning bylaw amendment. The property is currently zoned Residential 2 Holding Zone in the zoning bylaw. This zoning bylaw amendment proposes to change the zoning to a site-specific R2 zone that permits parcels with a minimum lot area of 465 square meters and construction of one-story dwellings with a maximum lot coverage of 45%. The standard R2 zone requires a minimum lot area of 510 square meters and limits maximum lot coverage to 30 to 40%, depending on the lot area of a parcel. This zoning amendment is required as 4 of the 38 parcels in the subject area are below the 510 square meter lot area required for R2 zones. The increase in maximum lot coverage for one-story dwellings will facilitate construction of one-story single detached homes in the subject area. So this slide shows a site plan for the portion of the Peace Bridge subdivision subject to this amendment. There are 38 lots intended for construction of single detached dwellings within the subject area. So this is an image of the site. This is looking west from Louisa Street. See the wooded areas surrounding the site. This is looking north from the Louisa Street road allowance. So the majority of the site itself has already been cleared of vegetation or tree cover. And this is looking east from Louisa Street towards Jordan Drive. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much. Do any members of council have any questions of Mr. Van Veen? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Excuse me, through you to Mr. Van Der Veen. Reading the report and looking at the mapping, I'm always hesitant when we're looking at subdivisions that back onto existing or pre-built homes. And in this case, the subject lands along the east side are backing onto homes in Canada Drive. Now, I know that the town there owns a buffer, but north of that, where the town does not own a buffer, is it the intention of the builder that when they build out 397, are they going to maintain that buffer? Because the housing along that is not going to match the existing subdivision to the east.
Through you, Mayor, to Councillor Nutt. There was a tree preservation study done that sort of will try and retain some vegetated area around the subdivision to sort of create a bit of a buffer. Some of the lands to the northeast, one is Garrison Place and the other to the east is under private ownership as well. So at the current time, there's no plans to develop that area. So for the foreseeable future, it would remain wooded. But the lands north of the subject area, as you can see in yellow there on the map, that is also part of the Peace Bridge subdivision, so that portion will develop.
Just for clarification, it's just the part that goes directly north from the yellow box, is it not?
Yes.
So there's two parcels to the east that aren't owned by the current applicant.
Right. Yeah, you can kind of see my cursor here.
Should go back one.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so the orange outlined area is the Peace Bridge subdivision itself. So the majority of it will be single detached dwellings. I believe townhouses are planned for the very northern tip along Garrison Road. But the lands to the east and to the southeast are under separate ownership.
Any further? Any other councillors? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Thank you very much for coming forward. I'm looking at the report, and then I'm seeing that the original plan that was submitted, you had four lots only that were under the 510 square meters. And I'm just wondering, now you want to change everything to be under 510 square meters. I'm just wondering why you're looking to have a smaller lot size. And the second question, I guess, is why wouldn't it be done when you submitted the original site plan?
Vanderveen?
Through you, Mayor Redekop, to Councillor Lubberts. I can't speak to why it wasn't done originally. However, the vast majority of the lots do meet the 510 square meter lot area. There are only four lots currently that are under that value. I guess it was just simpler to get a variance for, or sorry, a zoning bylaw amendment for all the lots in this area to 465, but the vast majority of the lots will be meeting the 510 square meter lot area.
Councilor Lubberts?
Isn't that what you're asking for, is to reduce all of the lots to 465?
That is accurate, but only four of the lots will be under the 510. So, like, if to actually reconfigure the lots, they would have to amend their plan of subdivision.
I'm a little confused as to why you would be asking for an amendment for all the lots when the majority of them are going to remain at 510. I'm confused.
Mr. Vanderveen, can you explain that?
I believe Director Brady would like to speak to that.
Sure, Mr. Brady.
Through to Councilor Lubberts. These changes to these four lots could have been done by variances as opposed to bringing a zoning bylaw amendment to council, but it was felt that it would be better that this decision be made by council as opposed to by the Committee of Adjustment. It brings it forward. The draft plan subdivision is as is. There are no changes anticipated to it. So there are only four lots that will actually not meet the current zoning. The rest of them will continue to do so. And that's just the most efficient way to do it in terms of bringing it to council.
Councilor Lubberts, you have the same question I do.
I know, I'm
Can
still
I ask
confused
it?
As to...
So let me ask
we're changing all the lots to 465 square meters, but only four of them are going to be 460. Why? I'm still confused.
Okay, so we're going to get to that when we get to the report, but your question really is, why couldn't we just amend the zoning of the four lots that are undersized?
Tonight, you have a information report in front of you. If council feels that that's something that they want to do, that's something that they can certainly put forward. But the idea is to make sure that these issues are before you as
right.
opposed to before the Committee of Adjustment.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that, and I think that's appropriate. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor. The portion of lands that the town owns towards the east, did we own those prior to this application process underway, or is that the result of the 5% parkland dedication in lieu of? How did we acquire the ownership?
You know that, Mr. Vanderveen?
Through you, Mayor Redekop, to Councillor Passero. It's my understanding we have owned that parcel for some time. It wasn't parkland dedication. It's just
okay.
A parcel that the town owns in
okay.
the area.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Vanderveen. So we'll hear from the developer now, unless you had something further you wish to add.
No, Jeff Jansen is here on behalf of the developer.
Good evening, Mr. Jansen. Did you wish to address council? Please come forward. We have your name and your address for the record, please.
My name is Jeff Jansen. I reside at 345 McRae Station Road, Postlethwaite, Ontario. Good evening, everyone. As per Mr. Vander, basically what we're looking for, again, to re, relate to the four lots. It was easier coming in. I guess when they did the draft plan approval, when we were working with the developer, we realized as a designer there was four lots that didn't meet the current bylaw, that were undersized. Brought it to town staff's attention, and based on that is when they suggested we do one rezoning for the entire site. The intention is not to come back in and reconfigure the lots smaller. The lots would remain as they are. It's just that the four lots got approved somehow under the size requirement. As far as the lot coverage we requested, under the old bylaw, I think it was about a year and a half ago it changed, where my developer was working on spheres over here at the project, and bungalows were permitted at 45%. The bylaws changed since that, and typically a lot of the homes that he is building are bungalows. And the bylaw also has a clause that decks are included in lot coverage. So a lot of the houses could be under that 45%. They could teeter around 40, 42%. But because decks are included in lot coverage, we don't know the lot grading specifically right now. The last site, we had to come in for multiple variances for decks because they were counting lot coverage. So to avoid time delay, potential issues with homeowners coming in for variances, we felt that it'd be a better solution to come in and ask for a little bit more for bungalows, because typically they are building bungalows, and hence that the deck we had counted in our coverage numbers, so hence why we've asked for 45%. So we don't need to come to committee of adjustment for variances for each individual lot. Basically, we feel it's what we're asking for in front of council is suitable for the area. Again, we're not asking for two stories to be increased. It's more just the bungalows, just because, and they're not massive houses. The houses we are presenting from a square footage are ranging from 1,200 to the maximum of 1,700 square feet. But typically on the previous subdivision, the average house is about 1,500 square feet. I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. Councillor Lewis, did you have any questions about that? Just for clarification then, aside from the four lots that are undersized according to the current zoning, You would be building houses, including decks, that could exceed the current lot coverage permitted in this zoning on all the lots, possibly.
I'm not quite sure what you mean by that.
Your request with respect to the size of the lots relates to four existing lots that have been approved.
The lot sizes?
Yes.
That's correct.
The lot coverage, does it apply to more than just those four lots?
No, it would apply to the entire site.
Right.
The entire of those lots that we've asked for, yes. There would be all those lots.
Right, okay. So from your perspective, approving just a zoning amendment to just the four lots isn't going to be adequate?
For the lot coverage, no. No, it'd be for the entire site. To allow us to have the bungalows to fit on all the lots and allow the decks also to fit on the lots. That's correct.
Thanks. Any members of council have any questions of Mr. Jansen? Thank you very much. I think that's clear.
Thank you very much.
Okay, is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of the application other than the developer? Anyone who wishes to speak in opposition? Please come forward, sir. And could we have your name and address for the record, please?
Good evening, everybody.
Evening.
I have a question that...
We have your name and address, please, for the record.
Sorry, it's Jim Miller. Address is 905 Canada Drive.
See.
Question is, well, I have several questions, but just talking about increasing or decreasing the size of four lots, what's the real purpose of that? That I don't understand why they would have to decrease the other lot sizes to accommodate making four bigger lots, or where are these four lots going to be?
That's a good question.
If you could show me, I got a map here that shows the houses and all that, but it doesn't tell me which houses are going to be bigger or smaller or anything like that.
Okay, so before the meeting is closed, we'll let you finish, and then we'll let anyone else who wishes to speak. But
all
before
right.
we close the meeting, we'll get Mr. Vanderveen if he can, identify where those four parcels are.
Okay. Next question is, when's the infrastructure going to start? Any idea?
Well, they have to get approval for the zoning before they can start the infrastructure.
They don't have any of this, right? Is that correct?
That hasn't been approved yet.
All right. The same with the building construction. They have no approval for that yet?
Well, because to my understanding, there haven't been any building permits issued because they would have to have final approval granted.
Okay. What's the traffic routes going to be? Does anybody know? The residents in this area, on Canada Drive, Louisa, Jordan, and all that, have purchased homes in this area because it's a nice quiet area. It's a nice area to raise kids. And I know there's not that many kids in the area. There's a lot of senior people. But what's this, if you know what the traffic routes are going to be, can the people in our area be notified of what's going to happen with the traffic routes? And if it is possible, one other thing that should be done because of the increase in traffic, and I assume the traffic's going to be coming out and going on to Louisa and down to Albany and coming back to Concession. The traffic on Concession gets so fast some days. There's a lot of children that catch the school buses, and I think the traffic people in this town should take a look at putting a stop sign at Canada Drive and Concession, because there's just too many kids. And the kids go to that corner to catch school bus, more than one of them. And with the increase in traffic, something has to be done there. I don't know whether you people have looked into that or anything like that.
So that's a comment that staff will be making note of, and that's why we have the public meeting.
Yeah, okay. What's going to happen to our property value once this survey is put in? Value of our homes could decrease because of the increase of volume of traffic, volume of people, things like that. And it's something that we would like to know. Like for instance, right now, the taxes in our area, like going down Canada Drive and around that whole survey, they're very high compared to people living on the other side of, let's say, Garrison Road or over in Bridgeburg. I know we pay an awful lot for taxes, but can we not have a look at equalizing out the taxes for our area? Or is this subdivision going to increase our taxes? I don't know.
Well, the taxes are based on the fair market value of property, the actual value of the property. So wherever you're located in town, your taxes are a function of the assessed value by the Municipal Property Assessment Corporation and the tax rate.
Yeah.
And the tax rate applies to everybody throughout the town.
Is the tax rate the same for everybody in town?
Yes.
It is, isn't it?
It is. So if you have a more valuable home, then you pay higher taxes to the town, the region, and for education. If you have a lower value, you pay lesser taxes.
But if you stop and look at the cost of homes today, the value of our homes today, because we, let's say the homes in our area are, let's say, 15 years old. On the other side of the Garrison, they're maybe 50 years old. And yet, they're all getting the same service. We're not getting anything different. So I think something should be looked into that. I mean, the new houses that they're going to be building are going to be in the probably $400,000 or more. It's just got to be fair that people in our area have a look at our taxes.
Well, it will be, and every year you get an assessment notice, and you can appeal that if you wish. But this is about the zoning of this particular plan of subdivision. The taxes are another issue. As I say, they're based on actual value and assessment by MCAP, and you can appeal those if you wish.
Okay. The area that the town owns, I live on Canada Drive, in behind us there's an area that's 160 feet out from my property line. It's treed, and it's going to stay treed. But if you stop and have a look back in that area, there's an awful lot of dead trees that can fall over onto our property or anybody else's property along that. Would the town take an interest in having a look through that area and take down the trees that could fall on property lines that are along that?
Well, I'm sure that's something that we should be looking at, and Mr. Waltz will have made note, I'm sure, of that.
Okay. I just wanted to bring that up.
That's again a little bit off topic.
It's off it, but hey, it's a question.
You're
the only way to ask questions is to come here and ask you, and maybe somebody else will listen.
Well, you can send us emails. We're all on.
I know. You're all on email, but do you respond to emails?
Every one of us.
All
every
right.
one of us.
Okay.
Diligently.
Okay.
Anything further, Mr. Miller?
No, that's
before
not,
you go. before you step away, are there any members of council that have any questions of Mr. Mullen? Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Hope we can get some answers.
Yes. So there's a couple of areas there that we will address before the meeting is closed.
I had brought over a letter from another resident that has a lot of questions on it. And I don't think you want me to sit down and read all these questions. But one question I forgot to ask you is, when I purchased my property back in 2008, I was told that that property behind me was wetlands. It was for the animals and everything else. And it is a wetland, and we get there's a lot of water that runs through there. How could that get changed from being a wetland to a land that's being sold off as a development area?
That again is
that was supposedly done 10 years ago, but I paid an extra $20,000 to buy my house because nobody was building behind me.
Well,
you know,
then
somebody tells you a story and there it is.
Well, then that information wouldn't be all that accurate because the Conservation Authority will have an opportunity and I think has commented on this, but we will, yes, the Conservation Authority has commented and we will get that answer. We'll get an answer for that before the end of the evening for you. Okay.
And
before
how long will that be?
For the end of the meeting.
Okay.
This particular meeting. Councillor Passero has a question.
All right.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Miller, you mentioned you had a letter from a neighbor.
Yeah.
If you'd be so kind, if you could leave that with us and we can make sure Mr. Vanderveen. Okay, that way it just forms a part of the record and staff can see what those comments are.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Yes. And could you provide us with your name and address, please?
My name is Stacey Lynn Pronick, and I live at 349 Louisa Street. I purchased my property on Louisa Street approximately 10 years ago from Park Lane Homes. At that time, we did have several concerns with regards to the amount of traffic that may or may not happen should this property here be developed. We were assured at that time that that was very unlikely that that would ever happen. Having said that, since we've moved in there 10 years ago, the amount of traffic has been much more considerable than we ever thought it would be with adjoining onto Jordan. My concerns are with the amount of traffic that will be coming down Louisa Street. I currently left about 10 kids outside playing hockey in the driveway, and I am very concerned that this new development will increase the amount of traffic that is coming down this street. So I'm just wondering, again, Mr. Miller mentioned with regards to how much traffic that's going to increase on Louisa Street. Okay.
So that was one of the items that I'm going to be asking Mr. Vanderveen about before the meeting is closed.
Okay. And just one other question. I don't see anywhere on there in that new subdivision of any parklands. When Park Lane Homes built in the Garrison Village area, there was a park built over off of Barron. I can't remember the name of the street, but there is a park over there. The other side on concession did not see any parks built. We did have a park playground at the old fort, but that has since come down as well. And I'm just wondering if there's going to be any parklands put in there for kids to have a place to play.
Okay. We'll raise that as well.
Perfect.
Staff is taking notes of your questions and comments.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do any members of council have any questions? I have a question. Could you spell your last name, please?
Sure. It's Pronik.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak to for or against this particular application for rezoning? If not, Mr. Vanderveen, I had three items that I think you can possibly address. Four, actually. One had to do with the location of these lots, these four specific lots that are in need of a size adjustment.
Lots. Lot 14. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So the four lots that are under in minimum water. First one is lot 14, so that's this lot right here. Lot 55. And lot 60, which is this lot.
And so for the size of the remaining 34 lots to be changed to comply with the new zoning, if it were granted, would require the developer to seek to change this plan of subdivision?
Yes, they would have to come in and redline revise the...
So there'd be some further public processes?
Yeah,
and
it would be a full public process.
Right. Okay. The second item had to do with traffic routes.
Yeah, so I'm not, I would have to do some research on what, if any studies were done back in 2007 when this, there are plans to have road access extend in several locations to Arthur Street. So the road would be built from Louisa Street, Arthur. Right here, this is this little chunk is Viking Street. The plan is to have this built, which would essentially access Arthur as well. And then further north, the road kind of goes straight up, and then it swings west to also tie into Arthur Street. Majority of entrances to the subdivision.
This current phase appears to have one access. That's off of Louisa Street?
Correct.
And so all the traffic going in and out of this development initially will be from this neighborhood to the south?
Yes. The developer was also processed with the town to purchase some land up here to create a secondary road access, probably for... That would feasibly be another access point to the development.
And
that, correct, Louisa Street will be the first primary access point.
So other access points, that's part of the considerations that staff will be looking at in coming back to us?
Yes.
The other thing had to do with wetland, why development is permitted here. That's, I presume, because draft plan approval was granted, and that means that environmental conservation overlays don't apply.
Right. The area was reviewed as part of the draft plan approval process. Conservation Authority basically submitted in writing, at, you know, back in 2007 that there's no significant wetlands on there, so development. The area was wooded, but it's not a significant wetland area under the regulations. We also circulated them for comments on this application, and they basically submitted more comments. They have no objection to the proposed amendment.
Right. And then finally, is there any parkland dedication that was part of this plan of subdivision?
Staff was reviewing area. The plan is to provide parkland in that area. There's nothing set in stone in the parks and the open space. We're actually looking to provide parkland here, but... So it's something we'll be looking at as development moves forward in the area. Do plan to have a park in the Garrison neighborhood.
Thank you very much, Mr. Van de Veen. Do any councillors have any questions? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCup. Just regarding the proposed streets for the future, is the developer in possession of those lands currently?
I'd have to check. I believe it was approved by council, but there may still be some legal stuff.
And I'm not just speaking about current works, but for the future works, Viking Street coming through, it looks like it's coming across a number of properties to make its way east through west. I just want to make sure if we're speaking about future roads as far as traffic alleviation, that we have the ability to do that either between ourselves and the current landowner. If those lands are in the possession of somebody else, then it's really just a hope at this point.
Right. Yeah. So definitely access westward to Arthur Street. That's already gone in motion with the recent land. That one's a little bit more up in the air.
Okay, but at least going westward to Arthur Street, we have another outlet there.
Right.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Van der Veen.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Mr. Van der Veen. I'm going to declare this public meeting closed. Thank you. That then takes us to our consent agenda, and I wonder if councillor would like to move the consent agenda items, or are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the package? If not, Councillor Zanko, you're moving the consent agenda. Are there any questions with respect to the reports contained in the agenda, consent agenda? I had a question with respect to the one of the reports that requested extension of draft plan approval and talked about the region's mapping shows an environmental conservation overlay, but there's really nothing there. How frequently, Mr. Brady, does the region review its mapping?
To answer your question, the region has not reviewed its natural areas mapping since it was established as part of the bringing in of the Section 7 to the regional plan, which is for its natural areas. We have from time to time had areas removed based on EISs and other work that's been done, but the region to date has not updated their mapping at all.
So that goes back how far?
If I remember correctly, Section 7 was brought into the regional plan certainly well before I joined the town staff.
So is this something that the region should be requested to do?
It's my understanding that the regional municipality of Niagara is in the process of reviewing their overall official plan, and their new consultant will be coming out to see us in a very short period of time to discuss that matter. And certainly the natural areas, both their policy framework and their mapping, is something that I'll be bringing to their attention.
Thank you very much. I did have some questions with respect to the tender for transit route bus stops and facilities. Mr. Walsh, and the first one had to do with out in front of the hospital or Douglas Memorial. There appears to be one bus shelter, but my understanding was there was going to be one on each side of Birdie. Do you have any further information on that?
The report is correct in that there's one bus shelter to be installed. There is currently only one bus shelter there. So essentially what we're doing, the existing bus shelters are privately owned by an advertising firm. They are being removed, and the high priority locations, as noted in Table 1, will be installed shortly.
I noticed that some of these have bus shelters on both sides of the street where the bus is going to be stopping, and I would think that the bus is going to be going in both directions on Birdie Street in front of the hospital. Wouldn't that be a logical place for two shelters?
Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure the bus goes both ways and on Birdie.
Okay, could you look into that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to make sure. And the second question that I had, and we had briefly discussed this, the new technology that's going to be available to assist us to obtain some data with respect to where people are getting on and where people are getting off is going to be very important. But that's technology that will it help us to identify where the riders come from? In other words, where are they coming from walking to get to a bus stop? And how will we be able to determine what their final destination is? So in other words, if, as an example, there's a seniors complex where people are going, but they have to get off at the corner of Birdie and High, how will we know what their ultimate destination is, and how will we be able to adjust our routes in the future if we don't know where the passengers actually live and where they're actually going? Is there some way that we can address that, or has staff contemplated that?
Through the new onboard technology, it does show where they're getting on the bus at the bus stops. But without a comprehensive manual survey, I would think, recording people's postal codes, for instance, I don't know if we could get their exact address.
Is that not information that would be available when they acquire the card? Would they not have to provide their address?
I'm not sure you have to give your personal information to get the frequent buyer's card.
Check into that, because that would solve one of the problems. We would know exactly where they're coming from. So if you could look into that, I'd appreciate it. With respect to these new shelters, will we be able to generate some revenue from advertising?
That is the intent of these, to solicit advertising.
So that will help offset some of the costs of operation of the system once these shelters have been constructed?
That's correct.
And I know that there are many, many bus stops. This report deals with 9 shelters. How many phases of this program are there, or do we anticipate there will be?
Right now, we're anticipating 3 phases to this. We will be bringing a report or a project forward for consideration called Bus 18, which is a few more shelters and concrete improvements to meet accessibility, again, on high-frequency locations. And we foresee one phase after that. And by then, it will likely be time to take a look at the routing and make sure that we are on the right path. But in terms of the overall plan, it's a plan of continual improvement.
Thank you. And in Table 4 on page 4, there's a breakdown of the funding sources for this program. Is the Public Transit Infrastructure Fund, is that provincial money or federal money or a combination?
That's a provincial fund.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions on that? Does anyone have any other questions with respect to these items? Mr. Jansen, I've got some questions with respect to your report regarding the budget planning and timetable. We had briefly discussed this at the Corporate Services Subcommittee meeting in terms of the OMPF funding. And had you had an opportunity yet to look further into that to see whether that will, in fact, or that may not be renewed next year?
We did have an area treasurer's meeting Friday morning with representation from the province, and I did ask them for any further commitments in terms of timing and amounts, and they were going to look into it and get back to me.
Okay. So we should have that information prior to starting our budget deliberations?
Yes.
One other question. Appendix 2. Oh, yes. At the bottom of Appendix 2, under supplementary budget, there's a comment, allocation to infrastructure reserve, repurposed debt, and expired local improvement charges, and then an amount and the budget impact. Can you explain that, please?
Yes. If you look above in the town expenses section, you'll see a decrease in expense for debt charges that are maturing of $376,000. That, when net with a decrease in some of the revenues that we're receiving, that net amount is proposed in accordance with the reserve policy to go towards the infrastructure gap and ongoing capital contributions.
Now that I've got the explanation, can I have the interpretation of the explanation?
Sure. Those costs are debt that the town will no longer be paying for. On certain projects, I believe those are 15-year-old projects that now there's no longer any debt costs associated with those. So rather than see direct savings to the water and wastewater budget, part of the town's adopted strategy is to repurpose any of those costs that are no longer needed for debt towards long-term capital needs.
Much. Are there any other questions by any councillors? If not, I'll call the question on the consent agenda items. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to planning and development services, and that is Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Planning and development services is now in session. There are no presentations and delegations. First up is report PDS 58-2017, originally postponed from September 5th until tonight. If you had a chance to look at Mr. Brady's memo, and if it's still the will of council to circulate to the BIAs and the chambers, I'd be looking for a motion to further postpone until October 16th. Your Worship, you had your hand up.
Yes, can I move that? Then we further defer this to October the 16th.
Okay. Comments or questions on further postponing to then? Seeing none, all in favor? That's carried. Moves us along to PDS 62-2017. Proposed zoning bylaw amendment for the Peace Bridge subdivision, the recommendation being that council receives report number PDS 62-2017 regarding proposed amendment to the town's comprehensive zoning bylaw number 129-90 for the Peace Bridge subdivision for information purposes only. Someone looking to move that? Councillor McDermott, comments or questions on that report? Mayor Redicombe?
Just a couple of questions, and one had to do with the access and egress to this plan of subdivision. So it does look like it's all going to be coming in from Louisa. I know that there had been some discussion about a temporary access point at the north end of this phase to Arthur. So my question is it advisable to have this length of an internal road with only one access and egress?
Mr. Brady first, and then maybe we could ask the fire chief for his comments as well.
Certainly. Through to the mayor, the whole idea of access was dealt with when the draft plan was reviewed and then revised a little while ago. So that those issues have been resolved. I will certainly have the that area reviewed again when this report comes back. But the issues of the length of the road and that were resolved with the fire department at that time and also with council. So we're trying very much to fill in this part of Fort Erie, and we're trying to make sure that the connectivity ends up over to Arthur Street as we want, which will not only allow the traffic on this area to go through there, but it will also leave any long-term issues off of Louisa Street.
Chief Melanson, any concerns that have arisen on your part from then till now?
No. I used to live on Jordan Drive, and I know the area quite well. We would have no trouble if that was to move forward, as long as in the future it was going to expand. But initially, we wouldn't have any issues there.
Mayor Redekamp?
Well, so my concern would be if somehow, whatever that street is, it's running north off of Louisa, we're blocked. How would you get to this? How would you get to Lot 14, as an example, at the northern portion of this plan of subdivision? I understand that it was previously given draft approval, but I'm just wondering on a practical basis, how would you get the fire trucks there?
Chief?
Through you, Chair, to Mayor Gratikop. We have many, many streets in the town where we would run into those types of issues. Luckily, we have a lot of resources at our disposal to push any blocked area out of the way.
Hey, ready to come.
All right. I understand where we are. With respect to correspondence from, I believe it was Canadian Niagara Power, there's some question about the cost of electrifying this area. Is that an issue, or is that something that the developer would ordinarily deal with in any event?
Mr. Brady?
Through to the mayor, the issue concerning Canadian Niagara Power certainly isn't a zoning bylaw amendment issue, and the it will be affected in both timing and in terms of costs to the developer. If Canadian Niagara Power requires additional fees, which they often do, that will be a requirement of the developer to pay for.
Okay, and Block 70 is owned by the developer, which is the proposed temporary stormwater management pond. Is that correct?
Mr. Brady?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Comments or questions from anyone else? Councillor Lubert and then Councillor Nutt.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I guess my question goes back to the reasoning behind changing all the lot sizes, maximums, from 510 to 465 and not just the four.
And Mr. Brady?
The application that was brought to us was for all the lots and for both of them. There's two issues. One is the lot size and the other is the lot coverage. And as we've heard from the developer's agent this afternoon, that the issue of lot size is only applicable to four lots and the area of lot coverage is applicable throughout the subdivision. If council wants to give direction to staff that only the four lots be dealt with in terms of lot size, I would certainly be interested in hearing that.
Councilor Luberts, if you'd like to propose that.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, if that's what they want to do, then I would propose that that's what we do. And the reason for that is, I'm just going back to previous subdivisions that have come forward. And I watched the process evolve. And, you know, there was one in particular on Garrison Road where there was some mistakes made on some properties that got zoned improperly or they got by mistake and they came back to council. There was nothing we could do. So we had to allow the developer to do what they wanted to do. And then we have other subdivisions that come back. And then they want to make these red line revisions. And if we approve lot coverage or lot sizes from 510 to 465, that's what they are. And then they come back a year from now and say, well, we'll make a change because now we have the 465. We're going to make some changes here, and now we'll get four or five more houses in there. We had the same problem over on Redstock where one of the developers came in and made a whole bunch of changes and ended up with more property, and they just keep cramming these places in and making everything smaller. That this is what we're going to approve, and this is what they agree to, is 510 square meters, then we'll give them the 510 square meters on all the property except the four. So I think we should deal with the four separately. And, I mean, if the lot coverage, they want more lot coverage, I don't have a problem with lot coverage, right, if you want to increase lot coverage. But
Madam Clerk, this report is before us for information purposes. Is it enough just for kind of a council consensus and staff have taken notes and that would be brought back for formal adoption?
That's correct.
Okay, so I'm just looking around if anyone would like to speak in opposition to what Councillor Lubberts is proposing. I don't see anyone. So if staff could take note of that we're leaning towards minimum lot area specifically for the four units that have been talked about tonight. Okay, Councillor Lubberts, you still have the floor? Nothing further? Thank you. Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Chair Passero. To echo Councillor Lubberts, I'm more comfortable with approving only the four lots than the whole subdivision. I understand the reasoning to create it cleaner, but I agree with Councillor Lubberts. If we change all the lots, that's what they are, and the builder can come back and say, no, I want to build now to this specification. So I'm in agreement with him on that. My question on PDF 63-2017 for the CIP is to Mr. Brady.
We're
not on that report.
No, just on Peacebridge subdivision.
I'll hold my question until we get to that report.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Nutt. Further comments or questions? Just one, Mr. Brady or Mr. Walsh, regarding the drainage. Mayor Redekop had asked regarding that portion north of Louisa Street for the temporary stormwater management. It does note in the report that two options are being considered. I just want to make sure that staff are leaning towards the one that the mayor had spoke about. I would hate to see that portion to the east be utilized for anything that would take it out of the forested area it currently is now and restrict our options in the future. Could be
noted.
Okay. So seeing nothing further then, all in favor for receiving this for information purposes. So that's carried. Takes us to PDS 63-2017, Region of Niagara Smarter Niagara Incentive Program, the SNIP, Budgetary Constraints and Funding Partnership Commitments to the Town of Fort Erie's Downtown Core Area Community Improvement Plan, the recommendation being that Council direct staff to proceed with administration of the town's downtown core area CIP programs as outlined. There are four options provided, so I would be looking for the first person to comment to move one of those options to get us started. Mayor Redekop.
Chair, I'd like to move option two.
Okay. So option two is we would continue on with our current funding arrangements, which is what is contained right now in the documentation, and it would be 25%, and that would then be in the absence of the region's 25%, which is what got us to the 50. So Mayor Redekop has moved option two, so we'd keep the speaking to option two. If that doesn't pass, then we will entertain another option. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you. Through you to Mr. Brady, regarding option two, the region has...
Councillor Nutt, I'm sorry. I don't like to cut people off. Mayor Redekop, I should give you at least the option to speak to option two first, as you're the one who put that forward.
Yeah, sure. I'm leaning towards option two simply because this provides consistency with what we're doing. And if the region, I would like to think that the region will be persuaded through the actions of council to include not only the amount that's been allocated now for 2017, but additional funds, because it's been a wild success throughout all of the municipalities in Niagara. And so it's hard to imagine that the 12 mayors wouldn't be supportive of pushing this, which means there's a need for five regional councillors to support putting money into this program. It's obviously something that benefits not only the municipality, but the region as well, because it encourages private investment and it increases the assessment of the properties which are being improved, and it helps to beautify the downtown areas. On the facade aspect, on the apartment incentive program, that helps to provide some housing which most of the municipalities need, and again helps to make the downtown areas a bit more vibrant than they are. So I'm thinking that the region will be persuaded to participate in the future. I think that the programs that we're at right now, the region is in until the beginning of August, applications between now and then. There will be a time that will be required to process applications that we've received that are in the pipeline right now. And I don't know how many of those will be approved before the end of the year, but they may have the option. I mean, we're getting closer now to the end of the year. Those applicants may decide that they'd like to wait to see what the region does so that they may still be able to tap into the 25% that the region provides. And it seems to me that the 25% is fair. This is a program that we've had running now. I know it refers to 2014. We had a facade improvement program a decade or more ago, which some of the downtown areas were able to tap into, at least in Ridgeway. So if we go with any other option, we won't be able to, I don't think, maintain the funding that we've got available for as long a period of time. And I'm also mindful of the fact that we do have businesses in this community that aren't located within CIP areas. And some of those business people are making investments that are entirely 100% their dollars. I would hate to see us committing more than the 25% to some of those who happen to be fortunate enough to be in the areas that we have been able to at least identify and provide this opportunity for until we get to those other areas. So that's really the rationale in my head with respect to option two, and hopefully that'll be the option that we'll all agree with.
Thank you, Mayor Tucker. My apologies, Councillor Nutt. I dropped the ball on that one. You have the floor.
That's okay. Thank you. I'm in support of option two, simply for the fact that all the reasons the mayor said, plus I think that we need to hold the region accountable. Councillor Nunziata indicated when he was here last week that they would be supporting it next year. They've already started their budget deliberations, and my question to Mr. Brady was going to be, do they have a line item, do you know, in their budget planning for 2018 for this funding? Because my fear is if we pay their portion, they're just going to say, well, they can afford it, let them keep paying, which isn't the case. So,
Mr. Brady?
Through to Councillor Nutt. It's my understanding that the region staff wants to reallocate this money to other kinds of programs. So my understanding is in 2018 there probably won't be any funding. I can also let you know that we have this week applications that want to know to move forward. That's why it's important that we get this dealt with by tonight at council. So if it's option two, then that's, we'll tell people moving forward that you'll get 25%. You won't get what you had in the past. And we'll move forward with that. And I think it's very important that we're consistent as we move forward. But there's also something which has been brought to my attention by a number of the developers and the downtown core areas. And that is, we have momentum right now. We don't want to lose the momentum. And so whatever council decides to do, certainly option two will provide less momentum to having this work moving forward.
Councillor Nutt?
No further questions. Thank you, Mr. Brady.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair Passero. I have a couple of questions for Mr. Brady. How many applications are still in the hopper?
Mr. Brady?
Through to Councillor Butler. I'm going to be remembering, and if we need the specifics, Mr. Miller's here tonight, but I think there's something like 9 in the hopper.
Mr. Miller, could you?
Applications. So we dealt with the applications that were in the hopper before the deadline of August 4th so we could get them in to the region so they would acknowledge them. So we did beat the clock on that, and they will receive full funding. At the moment, over the course of the past year or so, I've got 8 people I'm waiting for to come forward with applications. I have a pre-consultation meeting Wednesday, somebody who is waiting for an outcome of this meeting tonight in direction of council, and a phone number of another person on Jarvis waiting for the same outcome. So, with the end of the week, I'll have 10 people consultations complete. It's then in their hands to go out and fulfill the criteria the number of cost estimates they need to gather, you know, plans if they are needed and things of that nature, and then they're able to come forward at any time. So that's the situation right now. So gaining interest, the momentum is still there. I just need to know what to tell the people when they come in. Because there were people out there who pre-consultation, I can't get that word right, prior to even the region announcing that they have gone broke for the year. So those people are out there thinking that they're going to get a full funding. They're going to come back and say, well, you're at 25% now. That's the situation. But going forward, I can tell these people that, you know, the goal's direction, should it end up at option two, 25% current state.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Councillor Butler?
Thank you. And how much money do we still have in that?
Available? Mm-hmm. That's the key word, available. We have $151,000, but it's into reserves. We've spent the operating budget this year ourselves. So any more that come forward, we would be dipping into reserves to fund. So that's where we're at as we approach again. We spent this year's budget, which was I've secured $80,000 in projects. The thing about them is they stretch out over a year or two, right? So I just have to keep track like a cash on a basis, what's in, what's out, and things like that.
Councillor Butler?
I just want clarification then, because you obviously have enough to cover the 10 that will be coming in, correct? More or less?
No, I would through Mayor Redekop to Councillor Butler, we have about 151 in reserve. My estimate on the people who have come forward to pre-consult with me, based on what they've told me, I have to get my crystal ball out here because the numbers, they haven't provided the cost estimates yet. But based on what they've told me, my estimate is that the grant amounts that they'd be seeking would be about $195,000. We have about $150,000 in the tank. So we're always on a first-come, first-served basis. So those people would have to come forward. And when we're tapped out ourselves. So... but if I add two more, as I mentioned, pre-consultations coming up, you know, I'm going to say there could be a potential for another 20, you know, at the end of the day. It could be, you know, over $200,000 in potential there where we have 150 in our.
Councilor Butler?
I guess I'd like some clarification then, Mr. Chair, is that if we have 150 in reserve, we're going to need an additional 45, probably a little bit more if we get more applicants. What are we looking at then in terms of timelines and funding for those individuals that are going to come forward?
Through you, Mayor, Stephen. We have no control over pulling the people forward to get their applications. It's at their timeline now. They come in and pre-consult, and then it's up to them to go out and gather the information they need. Some people need more time and more information because they have to engage architects, they have to engage specific contractors. So they're out there trying to acquire the cost estimates that we're going to need to get the committee to sit around those cost estimates and determine that's a suitable amount.
Mr. Miller, the money that we have, I know that we did a supplemental increase last year, but we do have a base budget amount for CIP programs, do we not?
The base budget, I believe, this year is now 80.
We did that as a base.
Last year became 80. Okay. It was the previous year that you had a supplemental, but it was established that things were going so well that we wanted to...
So to Councillor Butler's point, if somebody did come in and funding was not there, they would be told you would be first, but you have to wait until the budget replenishes come 2018 because it's part of our base budget.
That could be done, yes. I certainly wouldn't probably put them through a process and guarantee the money without the money being there. So I would wait until, after the budget was secured before we sign any agreements or anything like that. But I would tell them, you know, we're out of money right now. I will hold you in queue, and you are number one. Okay. Let's see what happens at budget.
Councillor Butler?
Nope, that's exactly where I was going, so thank you.
Okay. Councillor McDermott and then Councillor Zinko.
Well, one thing you don't like when you're trying to revitalize the downtown is for programs to just up and quit, just like that. And I don't think the region did a big service to the downtown entrepreneurs or the councilors for that fact, because now we either have to clamor for a little more money, top off our funding, or we just go with the 25%, and maybe that bit of money would delay a project for a year or maybe forever. Who knows? doesn't really matter. I know downtown there's always a budget for people, and there's a limit that you get to, and you start counting on these programs, and then all of a sudden they jump up and they go away. So as much as I appreciated Councillor Nunziata's response last week that he's 99.9% positive that this plan will come forward again, I don't know. I don't know, and we can't predict that. I don't want to see people that have got their projects on board not get the funding that was offered to them to begin with. This is no fault of theirs. This is a fault of a government, unfortunately, that doesn't have the foresight to think about the people that are in the queue. So I can't support number two. I would have rather had a different option, and I'm sure the entrepreneurs that are on Jervis Street and Bridgeburg and Bridgeway, and the fact that we're working on these plans for Crystal Beach in the future, we have to find a way of making these things happen for them. So can you give me some input as to what your feelings are at this point?
Through the chair to Councillor McDermott, when the region first announced that they were at the tipping point of their budget, they put a call out for information from all the municipalities to gather, more or less like an audit for, so they can get their numbers all correct. Not only did I tell them what we had signed in agreements, I told them about the pre-consultations and the expectation that we could be looking at close to $195,000 or so for the rest of this year even. So they were provided with the information, but, I mean, they chose approved as of August 4th as their cutoff, as of not, what could be coming. So it's not as though they weren't advised, but, they've obviously gone through and done their auditing and discovered. I'm wanting to believe that they discovered other municipalities had some projects signed that did not have horizons or sunset clauses that they were on the hook for. So it is what it is, but certainly I understand frustration for us. I'm not looking forward to anybody coming in who's out there right now, thinking that they're coming in, I'm going to get a 50%, and I have to tell them, no, you're only up for 25 now. It's 8. So.
Councillor McDermott, similar to the development charge issue, anything that seems to be too successful at the region doesn't last very long. Any further comments?
No, I just want to thank Mr. Miller for the report. And like I say, I hope that we can honor the expectations of those people that have brought in these projects. But if we don't, I do want to mention that I support honoring these things because it gives government a bad name. And, we don't want to do that because it's a program that works. It's proven. Just look at the money that's gone into it and look at the effect that it's had on every end of our town that have been able to use it. And that's all I really have to say.
Thank you, Councillor. And my last comment is definitely not meant to disparage our mayor. He's had our back at the regional level whenever we've asked him to. So, Councillor Zankel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to Mr. Miller. I just want to ensure that I'm understanding this properly. So, the 8 applications that we currently have, they are pre-approved. The business owners meet the criteria, and you were able to get those into the region. So it's fair to say that those business owners will be receiving the 50% because we met the deadline on that.
Mr. Miller, what's the process once it gets to the region?
Through the chair to Councillor Zanko, what we have 100% assurity of getting our money from the region on were the 5 applications that were done so far this year that have ended in agreements being signed. The 8 pre-consultation that I've referred to, they have not officially filed an application with us. They've come in and pre-consulted where we've said to them, this is, you need this, 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 and this in order for us to assess your application. So they're out there gathering this, 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 and this, and I'm waiting for their application. So they haven't technically filed their application. I'm anticipating them to come in, and it's sort of on their timeline. Like I said, some people need more information than others, so depending on what they're doing.
And to make it clear, Councillor Zanko, those 8 applications, the region will not be funding.
Correct.
Councilor
Thank
Finkel.
You. And further to that question, so the $150,000 that we currently have in reserves, is that specifically allocated towards those eight applications that haven't met their criteria or qualifications yet? Or is that $150,000 allocated towards the five that we're anticipating regional funding on?
Through the chair to Councilor Zenko, that $150,000 would be available for the first come, first serve of the eight, you know, depending on how much the grant funding's. Everybody else is already accounted for and secured through agreement.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. And nothing further to you, Mr. Miller. Thank you very much. I do agree with Councilor McDermott. You do a phenomenal job with this. We hear it throughout the business community, and it's greatly appreciated. I'm of the mindset that I am going to support option two, as that I do agree with the mayor's comments. As far as my constituents, my business area, obviously we don't qualify for any of the CIP program. So to continue on with my commitment to my residents, I don't think it would be fair for me to guarantee 50% simply because my commitment has been towards infrastructure. But I do agree with Councillor McDermott. I think that there has to be an allocation put forward, and I'm hoping that the region will commit the other 25% so we can maintain that momentum by also committing to 25% tonight. So that's what I would be supporting.
Thank you, Councillor Zenko. Further comments or questions? Mr. Brady, one second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Brady, are you aware whether or not this council has passed any type of formal resolutions directed at the region regarding their abandonment of this program or our desires for 2018?
No, I don't believe so. Okay. I don't believe there's been any resolutions of this council on that topic.
Okay, so I would encourage one of my colleagues, if interested, under new business to maybe give that some thoughts. Further comments on this particular item, Mayor Redekamp?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, in terms of the current group of business people who have become involved in the pre-consultation process, we don't know whether they'll qualify for funding from the region because we don't know whether the region will continue the program. Depending on the timing, depending on whether they qualify locally, depending on whether the region allocates money in 2018, it's possible that some of these applicants could, I presume, qualify for some funding from the region.
Through the chair to Mayor Redekop, that would not be the case as it is right now. The region has indicated they will not fund any more for 2017.
Yeah.
So if I have
2018, I'm talking about 2018 now.
Well, 2018, they, according to the report, they have not even made a commitment on a budget allocation that these programs would fall under. So at the moment, there's no guarantee that I've seen in the reporting or through regional correspondence that there will be monies for these programs. They will be, certainly have indicated they will be doing the reviews of their programs and anticipate implementation before 2018.
Mr. Chair, can I get Mr. Miller to answer the question that I'm wanting to ask?
Yes, could you ask it again?
So if Mr. Brady made the statement that there won't be any funding available for these applicants, all I'm saying is that depending on the timing of when these pre-consultation applicants finally come forward with an application, depending on what happens at the region, in the event the region were to allocate money in 2018, they could very well end up getting some money from that program. Now, that's all speculation right now, but we don't know how many of the 10, 8 or 10 that are in pre-consultation, how many will actually come forward, and we don't know when that will be yet.
Can I answer that, please? There would have to be a shift in what the regional is doing for any allocation to occur. What the regional staff is saying to us is that through 2018, not at the beginning of 2018, through 2018, they're going to be taking a look at the program. They may bring a budget allocation or they may not. What I'm reading, because they're also suggesting that they want to ship money into their public realm improvement programs and into their secondary plan programs for Lincoln and Grimsby, that there may not be any money allocated. During the budget program, certainly if the council directs the regional staff to revamp this program, it may come back. but I'm not seeing any indication from regional planning staff that they want this program to be funded in 2017 or 2018.
Mayor Redica?
So I've heard that. I've heard that loud and clear. The page 8 of the report makes reference to possibly as much as $320,000 being required to fund these groups that have come forward in pre-consultation, which is double what we've got in our reserves, so that we would have to be looking at some of this going into 2018 in any event, would we not, Mr. Miller?
Correct. It would be first come, first serve. I would have to shut them down when the amounts are there. That number is in there as the upper ceiling. You'll recall in my discussion a bit earlier that I estimated about 195. That's based on what the pre-consultation they've told me they're doing. They're doing this, they're doing that. Right. Costing of that would not be something that would utilize their maximum availables. So if they were to utilize maximum amounts available to them, those 8 people could effectively come in with numbers that are as high as 100 or 320,000 kind of.
And not being, if I might, Mr. Chair, not being completely familiar with how you work all of this, would it be fair to say that, or is it accurate to say that if we allocate double the money, so 50,000 as opposed to 25 to each of these, or 25% as opposed to 50%, that we will deplete whatever monies we do have twice as fast?
If you allocate 50%, yes, then you would see it, the 150,000 in reserve deplete twice as fast, correct? So that's the question I'm here to find out, if we want to head down that path, whether we will, you know, make it to the end of the year without everyone coming forward, those types of things, because, you know, council will consider a new budget. And just for council's awareness, I'll be bringing a report in November. It's the annual report I bring to inform council on the project activities that have gone on, feedback from the applicants and things of that nature. So it should have more up-to-date and current numbers come November for you to use in deliberation.
Yeah, there's no question this has been an excellent program, and counselors that have complimented you, Mr. Miller, are quite correct. You've done an excellent job with it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Scott. Mr. Miller, one more very quick question. If we weren't having this conversation tonight, i.e. the region had not decided to pull the funding, we would still be getting the same answers. You know, we have 8 in the hopper. Money's going to be expected to run out, budget will be replenished, so nothing has changed as far as how we're looking to administer the program from our end. Simply a matter of asking, do we want to cover the region's share until the end of this year?
Correct, Chair. I need to be able to convey to the people when they come forward how much grant eligibility, so they know and they can do their financial planning, because all it is.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have any questions for Mr. Miller, but I do have a comment. I agree that we should maintain our 25% commitment going forward, regardless of what the region is. I do not believe that we should be covering the region's portion. I think that with the mayors, the 12 mayors that have indicated that they're in support of revisiting this and keeping it alive next year is sufficient enough for it to come back, and especially if we only need 5 of the regional councillors. I can't imagine that the regional councillors that are committed to its community would not support it going forward. So I say yes, we continue to do our part, and hopefully in 2018 they'll continue with their commitment. So thank you. Yes, fingers crossed.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. In that line, before I call the question, I just want to ask this while it's still on the floor. Mayor Redicott, when this came through at Regional Council, was it put on the floor for deliberation as to should we tap into a reserve to continue this funding? How did that process play out? I'm just trying to gauge what the level of support is amongst Regional Council.
Yeah, so a report was prepared and passed by a planning committee that came before Council last Thursday. They tapped into some reserves with respect to the additional 4,000 or whatever it was that they put in. And for them to go beyond that would have required a budget amendment. So that wasn't even gone into. So the issue is, what will 2018 look like? When you look at the amounts of money that have actually been allocated for this program at the region, it's pretty insignificant when you think that there are 12 municipalities that have, or I don't know if all 12 do, but most of them have similar type programs. So It'll be part of the 2018 budget discussions and a resolution from this council supporting a continuation of that program at a higher level would certainly be helpful, and probably notice of motion at the next council meeting, which is next Monday, would be appropriate because that'll still get us into the budget process.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor DeCopp. So seeing nothing further, Mayor Redekop has proposed then the recommendation that council directs staff to proceed with administration of the town's downtown core area CIP programs as outlined in option 2 of the 4 options provided herein, and further that council directs staff to circulate a copy of town report number PDF 63-2017 to the region of Niagara for information purposes. Moved by Mayor Redekop. All in favor? All opposed? That is carried. I think it's probably just a typo, but I'm going to assume that we still have new business inquiries for planning. Madam Clerk?
No, there is no new business for planning because this isn't a normal planning subcommittee meeting. They usually meet on the 1st.
Okay. That answers that question. So at this, do you have something that we missed? Otherwise, I have to turn the chair back to Mayor Redekop.
We could, yes, we could, and I know that there's a process that's gone into place for a number of years, but it seems like we're kind of creeping into a situation where we have most of these committees come forward with reports at most of our meetings. So,
and we have spoke at length, Madam Clerk, about trying to kind of get out of the habit of this meeting is just for this, and allowing staff to kind of better balance when things are coming forward to us. So I would be looking for the consensus of council that whenever we have a committee in session that we include new business inquiries, if that's okay with the balance of council.
I think that's appropriate. And I think what the clerk may need some something more than just a consensus from council, because this may be part of our policy. So Madam Clerk, maybe you could look into that as well. And then you can let us know what you would require to make sure that all of these business subcommittees, if they appear on our agenda, do have a new business component. And for this evening, Councillor Butler, you wanted to waive the rules of procedure so that new business could be brought under planning and delegations, or under planning?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's on the floor. Did you wish to speak to that?
I do. I'd like to bring forward new business as and under new business.
Yeah, we have to vote on it. So, did you want to comment on why you want to do this?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments? All those in favor? Carried. Councillor Butler. Sorry.
That's okay. No, I had to give the chair back to you, so you'll give it back to me, and we will we'll continue on with planning and development on new business inquiries, Councillor Butler.
Thank you. I don't know what the procedure is here as well, if we waive the procedures a second time to bring in a notice of motion so that we can send something to the region with respect to the CIP program.
I think what Mayor Redekop would like to do is, because we're not under a strict timeline to do that, is we can wait a week for the regular council meeting and do it under the notice of motion provision, because we can't really do a notice of motion in committee anyways. It'd be a new business item and wouldn't really carry the weight of a formal resolution under a notice. So, but if you'd be prepared to work on some wording and bring that forward as a notice in a week, that would be great. Okay. Anything further under new business inquiries for planning and development? Councillor McDermott, anything? No? Okay. So that brings planning and development services to a conclusion. I'll turn the chair back to Mayor Redekop.
Thank you very much, Councillor Passero. And that takes us to infrastructure services. Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Infrastructure services is now open. Our first report is IS-29-2017, Extension of Contract Administration and Site Inspection Services for Catherine Street and Kings Mill Street South, Road Reconstruction, contract number ISE-16T-CATH-06. Can I have a mover? Councillor Butler? That report's on the floor. Would anybody like to speak to it? Mayor Redekop?
Madam Chair, I have a number of questions that relate to legal aspects of this, and I would like to move that we go into a closed session so that we can get some information from our staff Both Mr. Walsh and Mr. Lustig are here, and Mr. Stojanovic. I'd like to move that we go into closed session.
Okay. All those in favor will now opposed.
I mean, if we're going into closed session, we need to know that we're going into closed session for the reason. And if we have legal problems, then we can go into closed session. But I've read this report. This is a public report. And there are a whole lot of things in this report. And I'm just questioning, do we have to notify everybody that we're going into closed session, why we're going into closed session, what the legal matter is that we would be discussing? Because I don't know that we can just go in there and talk about, because we haven't been presented and we haven't been served with any legal notice regarding this report.
Mr. Lutzik, did you want to comment on that? But I'm thinking we're only going into closed session to discuss the possible litigation. And then
I wanted to ask for it to go into closed session. I can tell you it has to do with legal matters relative to a contract that the municipality is engaged in. There are parties involved in that contract, and we're being asked to provide additional funding to the consulting engineer with respect to the supervision and administration of this contract. There are some legal questions that I have with respect to the town's position with respect to that. So whether there's litigation outstanding or not, there may be litigation contemplated, and I don't want to talk about who the parties contemplating it might be, because that's a legal matter that we can deal with in closed session. So that's where I am. I'm quite content, Madam Chair, to go into closed session after other councillors have had a chance to ask questions that don't have legal implications, but might have definite legal implications.
Okay, so should we wait for your motion?
Good on that.
Okay, so Councilor Searles?
I support Mayor Riddickhoff's motion at the present time. I think my questions certainly could have legal implications. There will be time to come out of closed session and deal with the balance of the reports, but it's you know, the prerogative of any member of council to go into closed session if they feel it necessary and the balance of council decides. So I am in support of going into closed session at the present time.
Are there any other comments? Councilor Lewart?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'm not questioning whether we go on, and I don't have a problem going into closed session to discuss legal matters, but I'm just questioning, do we have to specify what those legal matters are? Possible litigation is a reason to go into closed session. Is there possible litigation?
I think Mayor Redick.
Are we contemplating some litigation with the town of Fort Erie? So there's where I'm just questioning if the legal part of going into closed session, because we know this council has gone through this over and over again, closed session and what qualifies and what doesn't qualify. And I don't want to be going into closed session and discussing things that don't qualify for closed session, because that discussion never comes back to the public realm.
Mayor Redekop?
So when we go into closed session, I'll be chairing the meeting. That's the way it is usually done. If we get into an area that isn't something that should be in closed session, I'll caution the councillor to raise that issue in the public portion of our meeting. But I, and maybe other councillors, have some questions about some legal advice that I think the town needs from our lawyers. And to get at that legal advice, I need to ask some questions of staff. And so those are clearly in my mind. We don't go into closed session very frequently. We've gone into closed session on very few occasions over the course of this term of council. I'm quite familiar with what we're entitled to go into closed session for and what really are questions that should be asked in public. So I'll do my best to monitor that, and I'm confident that other councillors will be vigilant as well. So this is a serious issue that I think needs some legal advice from our council on. I moved it.
Okay, I'll call the question. All those in favor? We'll now go into closed session at 7:36 p.m.
So Councillor Zanko, when we left, you had the floor as the chair of infrastructure services. So we're now back in open session. We need a resolution to rise with no report. Res, have that motion? Someone? Councillor Passero? Any questions or comments? All those in favor of rising without report at 8:52. Opposed? That is carried. Floor is back to you, Councillor Zanko, to deal with report IS 29.
Yes, thank you. IS 29-2017 is on the floor. We've already had a mover for that report originally. So are there any comments or questions regarding the report? Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much. Just reading the report, I'm trying to be careful that I don't bring anything out from closed session, but I read the report, and here I did see somewhere where there are some charges to the contractor for the time, the $500 a day. Is that correct? It's in the report here.
Per diem for delay?
Yes, that's it. That's in the report, Councillor.
And so just for some clarification, just for the people that are paying attention to this contract or this report, Mr. Walsh, can you just explain a little bit of what we do with that $500 a day and how we allocate that money, what we do with it?
Mr. Walsh?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The contract contains a clause for liquidated damages in which following the expiration of working days as stipulated in the contract, the town has the opportunity to apply liquidated damages to help offset the costs against any damages we encounter. Our damages in this project are the fees we would have to pay to AMEC Foster Wheeler.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any additional comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That report passes. That brings us to new business and inquiries. Are there any matters of new business or inquiries? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Chair Zanko. Just going back to one of the comments that was made during the public meeting regarding the dead trees on the municipal property. I know that we have done an inventory of all of our emerald ash trees, and I know that we're targeting parks first and then right-of-ways, so this area is probably not close to the top on the priority list as far as looking through the whole parcel, but I'm hoping that staff could go and take a look at least in the little stretch of area immediately adjacent to the homes and maybe take care of any trees that could be in a position to fall, at least in that small section.
Mr. Walsh?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's noted. I would add that we haven't inspected all of our ash trees. I would doubt highly we've looked at this area in particular. We've been concentrating on parks and road allowances right now. This is neither. But certainly we will have a look to see if there's any potential.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you to Mr. Walsh, concerns have been raised by my constituents that live on Teal Road that there is, from the Garrison heading south to Birdie, there's no speed limit signage, and also they're wondering if you could also check to see if there's any signs that indicate horseback riding, because there's a large number of people that have horse farms around there, and they do ride on that road, and they're just concerns have been raised about cars driving, you know, between 50 and 70 kilometers while people are horseback riding on that road.
Madam Chair, I'll look into both.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other matters, business matters or inquiries? Seeing none, I actually have one. Tonight when I was coming here, I drove down Lakeside Road. We receive a lot of complaints from residents, and I know that they're due for water main replacement in 2021, but with what Jonathan mentioned, that perhaps if there's extra available for capital, I'm just wondering if we could possibly consider putting the drawings as a budget line item during budget deliberations for this year, just in case there is extra available. Then we might be able to move forward a little bit sooner. Just a thought.
Yeah, Madam Chair, we're in the budget, or we're in the process of developing our capital budgets right now. We'll look into it. I know we do do our design work typically 1 year prior to the construction season, So moving it up may be in our best interests here. The road condition, the water main condition, et cetera. We've been very successful in obtaining outside funding for our projects this year from the feds and the province. So it would certainly be a project worth accelerating.
Thank you. That moves us along to the business status report. Are there any questions regarding the business status report? Seeing none, that concludes infrastructure services. I'm going to pass the chair back to you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zanko. That takes us to corporate and community services, Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Corporate and community services is now open. Tonight, we are not entertaining any delegations. We have no presentations. We have no reports to discuss, so I'm going to skip right to new business. Any inquiries or new business? Yep. Seeing none, we'll move on to the business status report. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll turn the chair back to His Worship and conclude corporate and corporate.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. And that is the new record. Scheduling of meetings. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCopp. Fort Erie Active Transportation Committee meeting tomorrow in committee room number 1 here at Town Hall for 5 p.m.
Any other meetings? Councillor McDermott.
Yes, tomorrow night I have Fort Erie Library Board, the Centennial Library at 5 o'clock, and the following evening, Wednesday, an Economic Development Tourism Corporation meeting at 5 p.m.
If there are no other meetings, then Councillor Nutt, would you like to move that we adjourn?
Yes, Your Worship. The Council and Committee meeting for the Town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 8:59 p.m.
All those in favor? That is carried. Thank you very much, all. Difficult issue.